It might be like the, you know, like the buzzard, man, that, you know, he was looking at this hummingbird sing up on the telephone line. And he was heard this hummingbird singing a beautiful song. And the buzzard flew up there and swallowed the hummingbird up. And he said, I might not be able to sing, but I got singing down in me. And, you know, that's the way I am. You know, I might not be able to sing, but it's down in me. It's down in me. And so even though, you know, why? Because you got that gladness in your heart, the gladness. And so this should be a song on your lips whenever you have gladness in your heart.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving.
As we look at this 100th Psalm, there are five things that I want to bring out over the next 2 weeks. The first one is what I call an unrestricted invitation. It says here, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. An unrestricted invitation. Next, we see an unexplainable sensation. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Third, we see an undeserving association. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Here we see in verse 4, an unequaled celebration. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And finally, we see an unlimited demonstration. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The title of the message for the next 2 weeks will be Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day, the aroma of the turkey is filling Charlie Brown's house. Snoopy is outside on top of the doghouse. And he's thinking and has visions of turkey and stuffing and eagerly awaits his Thanksgiving dinner. Finally, the door opens and here comes Charlie Brown with a bowl full of dog food. And he puts it on the ground. Snoopy gets off the top of his house, stares down at the dog food with a disgusting and saddened look on his face and says, just because I'm a dog, I have to eat dog food on Thanksgiving Day. And then the next square of the cartoon, Snoopy is looking a little more intently, and he's thinking, well, I guess I should be thankful because I could be the turkey. Thanksgiving. We find that God wants his people to be thankful. I was reading an interesting article, and it says, if you think that times are tough today, or if you have complaints about your life, consider this. Our forefathers went without sugar until the 13th century, without coal fires until the 14th century, without battered bread until the 15th century, without potatoes until the 16th century, without coffee or tea until the 17th century, without pudding until the 18th century, without matches and electricity until the 19th century, and without canned goods until the 20th century. Now, what was it that you was complaining about? We have a lot to be thankful for. We can thank God that he has brought us along in this place and time, and that truly we are a blessed people. I can't imagine what it would be like to have to start a fire at night and have to keep the fire warm to go to sleep and stay warm. I can't imagine what that must have been like. I can't imagine what it would be like to not have a microwave and pop something in there. So people, before they had it, they had to deal with those things, and many times they found reason to be thankful. I like what I read. Somebody said, if you adore God for who he is, that's worship. If you adore God for what he has done, that's praise. If you adore God for what he has done for you, that's thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about thanksgiving today. Overwhelmed with thanksgiving. We need to adore God for who he is. We need to worship him. We need to adore God for what he has done. We need to praise him. But we need to adore God for what he has done for us, too. And that's thanksgiving. As we look at this particular psalm right here, the occasion for the writing, if you want to follow along in your notes, some people believe, based on verse 4, that this particular psalm was written for the worshipers to chant as they processed into the temple for worship. Look at verse 4. He says here, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." So the fact that it mentions the gates and the courts, some believe that this was written for them to sing as they went into the temple to worship. There are others, based upon the superscription of the psalm, and those of you who have taken the Old Testament survey class, you know that the superscription is that those words that come before the psalm. Now, the King James says a psalm of praise, but the NIV and the New American Standard says a psalm or hymn of thanksgiving. And so that in the Hebrew, the word actually is thanksgiving. And so we see here that some people believe, based on the superscription, a psalm for thanksgiving. Others have suggested that it was designed to be sung whenever they offered sacrifices of thanksgiving in their worship service. Whatever the reason, whether it was because they wrote it as they sang it, as they processed into the temple, or they sang it along with their offerings of thanksgiving, the fact of the matter is that God has given us a powerful psalm in the Psalms. As a matter of fact, throughout many lands, this psalm is so popular that some people have often stood up to say, "Let's sing the old 100th. That's how familiar that they have become with it. Let's sing the old 100th psalm. As we look at the first point of the message today, we want to look at the fact that there was an unrestricted invitation. An unrestricted invitation. God puts out an invitation here to all. God puts out an invitation for everyone to be able to come and shout unto the Lord. God says, look, let no one feel that they need to keep quiet. As a matter of fact, God's blessings are throughout the whole earth. And if God's blessings are throughout the whole earth, then what does God do? God calls the whole earth to come and shout to him. Look at the notes. The psalmist exhorts all the earth. The Hebrew word there is ares, the earth, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This invitation was not just for God's covenant people. It just wasn't for Bethany Baptist Church, but it was for the whole earth. It was for the brothers down on the corner of Rosedale and Tioga. It was for the folk down on the hill. It was for people who are hanging out on the street selling drugs, prostituting, whatever it might be. The call is to all the earth. Look with me in Psalm 148. Look with me in Psalm 148, unless we are confused about who this call is to. Let me clarify it for you, because Psalm 48 lets us know who this call was to. The psalmist said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Verse 1 of Psalm 148. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights." So you can't go high enough. "Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that are above the earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also hath established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye serpents of the deep." Now he's getting low. He was high before, now he's getting low. "Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy winds fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heavens. He cleared that thing up, didn't he? What did he mean when he said all the earth? Well, unless you were confused about what he meant, just turn to Psalm 148. That'll straighten you out. Let all the earth praise the Lord. Saved folk, unsaved folk, even though you ain't got nothing to praise God about, praise him anyway. He woke you up this morning. You didn't have to wake up saved or unsaved. If God didn't want you to get up, you wouldn't have got up. Like somebody said, alarm clock woke me up this morning. Take that alarm clock down to the cemetery. Let it go off and see how many folk get up. Unrestricted. This invitation is unrestricted. And look further with me. Since the goodness of the Lord is seen in all the earth should make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The phrase make a joyful noise comes from the Hebrew word ruah, which was used to shout the victory over an enemy in Jeremiah 50:15. It was to sound the signal for war in Numbers 10:17. Now look at this, and I want to look at this one right here. The word was also used for the shouting that took place when David brought the Ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem. The folks were shouting. When the Ark came back to Jerusalem, they were shouting. The psalmist said, shout, ruah, unto the Lord, all ye land. Look at this. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And you know the background of the story. David was attempting to bring back the Ark of the Covenant to the holy city. And as he was bringing back the Ark, it was on a cart that was pulled by some oxen. And as these oxen were pulling the cart, it hit a bump. And guess what? The Ark, which contained the Ten Commandments and that pot of manna and Aaron's rod, that Ark started to slide off of the cart. And here was a brother there, Ebed-Melech, that thought that he could get a hold of it. Uzzah, he thought that he could get a hold of it and keep it up on the cart. And he tried to keep it up there from falling, got it back, and God killed him. We say, man, that was pretty cruel. Why did God kill him? He was just trying to make sure that the ark didn't touch the ground. Well, there was a couple reasons. Number one, God told them that they weren't supposed to touch the ark, that they were supposed to use these poles that went through the rings in the ark, and they were supposed to carry it. That's the way they were supposed to transport it. They were supposed to transport it by these poles. So they were disobedient to the way that they were supposed to transport. Then they weren't supposed to touch it. And so God killed him. And David gets discouraged. And David gets depressed. And David says, just leave the ark right here. And so he left the ark. And they put it in the house of this man named Obed-Edom. Look at verse 11. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Man, Obed-Edom was getting blessed. And verse 12 says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth to him because of the ark of God. This brother was getting blessed. You know, I heard one preacher say that, you know, David would look out of his window and he'd say, man, Obed-Edom done got new windows in this house. Look out. Man, Obed-Edom done got a new chariot. Looked out. Obed-Edom, look at them clothes that Obed-Edom's kids are wearing. Man, look at that, man. God is blessing Obed-Edom. And then one day, Obed-Edom came outside of his house, and he was singing, I just want to thank you forever and ever and ever for all. Obed-Edom had that song down. Obed-Edom was being blessed, brother. And David said, look, let me get this ark back up here in Jerusalem. And so David went down, the scripture says, so David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. And it was that when they who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. With shouting. Yeah. Yeah. The ark is back in Jerusalem. The blessings are coming back to Jerusalem. I'm going to get me some new windows. I'm going to get me a new chariot. I'm going to get me a new crown. Yeah, the ark. The ark. The ark is back. Well, what did the psalmist say? The same word that's used there. The psalmist said, shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. Shout unto him. And so this invitation is unrestricted. It goes out to everyone to come and shout out to God. The second thing we see is that not only is it an unrestricted invitation, but I like this right here. It's an unexplainable sensation. An unexplainable sensation. He says here, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This word gladness, look at the notes. You got to read this with me now. Look at the notes. The psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. The word gladness comes from the Hebrew word simah and refers, listen to this. Refers to being joyful with the whole being, which includes the heart, Psalm 105:3, the soul, Psalm 86:4, and the facial countenance, Proverbs 14:13. Man, gladness. A gladness that's in your soul and it shows up on your face. Some of y'all didn't come in here with that gladness this morning. Yeah, some of y'all came in like, I was wondering if somebody was sticking you up coming in here, you know? You walking in, man, sad and forlorn and discouraged. He said here, you know, that come before the Lord. That when you come before the Lord, come before him with gladness. Don't come up in here, sad. You might be sad when you come in, but somewhere, gladness ought to get up in your spirit, ought to get up in your heart. Nehemiah, when he was saddened in his heart about the walls of Jerusalem that they were torn down, Nehemiah said, man, I got to go before the king and ask him to help us to go back and build these walls. He said, but you know what? I better get my face straight before I go in there. I can't go before the king looking like this. I can't go before the king with a sad countenance. Now, if a man could be convicted in his heart that much about coming before another man, how much should God's people be convicted about coming before him without gladness in your heart? Without gladness. Come before his presence with singing. The birds. Now, you know, yesterday I went outside to get something out of my car. Yesterday afternoon, I heard birds singing. I said, look, man, it's getting ready to be wintertime around here. What are these birds doing? Chirping like that. The birds be singing. All of God's creation sings. Cole Porter said it like this. Birds do it. Bees do it. Even educated fleas do it. Let's do it. Let's praise the Lord. Now, he didn't say it like that. Now, Cole Porter had some other words in there, but once again, y'all know from last week that I like to write my own songs. So, you know, we are to praise him. We are to come to his presence with singing in the heart, in the soul. And you know, when it gets in the heart and the soul, according to Proverbs 15 and verse 30, it's supposed to light up on your face. The joy of the Lord bubbles over in you. You know, there's a song. Brother Eric, can we play that song? I want to sing this song. I think it's 22 and the red? 22 and the red. Get a red hymnal. Get a red hymnal. We're marching to, y'all can sit down. Y'all can sit down. But and some of you know this song. I want to sing the first, the second, and the fourth. We're marching to Zion. Yeah. What did the songwriter say? Who wrote that song? Who wrote that song? I closed my book up. Whoever wrote it, what did he say? Let those refuse to sing who never knew the Lord. Now, I think that he must have read this 100th Psalm, because the 100th Psalm says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Man, you have an opportunity. I'm not even going to get to this part this week. Oh, my goodness. Verse 3. I'm not even going to get to verse 3 this week. You know, we got the majesty, we got the creator, and we got the shepherd. You know, I haven't even dealt with those 3 points in verse 3. But we're talking about an unexplainable sensation that when God has saved you and God is working in your life and God is doing something for you, that there's an overwhelming feeling that comes over you that just makes you glad, that makes you want to shout. You see, that's why, you know, sometimes, I'm not saying that you got to be out here acting all crazy and everything, but my point is that, you know, if you never get that feeling of, man, God is my God, that I know the Lord, and there's a feeling that you feel good about that. And I know that our faith is not built on feelings. I know that. So I'm not saying that you got to feel something to be saved. I'm just saying if you are saved at some point, you ought to feel something. There ought to be something down in your spirit that makes you happy. There ought to be something in your spirit that makes you glad. If you can go day in and day out and not get excited about what God has done and what God is doing in your life, you better go back and check your salvation. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. You know, God is not looking for sad servants. God is looking for people who are excited about serving him. Oh, I love on Friday afternoons, you know, just going over to the master's kitchen. And when I go back there and I see the ladies and some of the brothers back in there, you know what I say in there? Servants of the Most High God. Servants of the Most High God. You know, go to the ushers. Servants of the Most High God. To the choir. Servants of the Most High God. If we are servants of the Most High God, there ought to be some excitement about the fact that we are serving the highest creature, the highest being, that we have the opportunity to serve him. Oh, let me share with you something, and that is service. Look at it. And I'm going to hit this, then I'm done. I'm going to hit this, then I'm done. Look at Luke 17. Luke 17. And I preached a message one time, and the title of the message was Service with a Smile. And under this point, we see the meaning of the sensation. We see the message of the sensation. And here in Luke 17, we see the motto of the sensation. But which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him when he comes from the field,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.